Saturday, the 7th of November, 1970, towards supper. Late in the afternoon, he stayed a long time. We taped 2.5 hours, I guess it would be. And then talked a little bit more, 3-hour visit. This is the beginning of the visit with Mr. McWeaver this Thursday towards supper, the 2nd of 7th of November 1970, beginning of Channel 1 Over, beginning of Channel 1 Over, the visit with Mr. McWeaver this Saturday afternoon towards supper, the 7th of November 1970.
Yes, sir. I tell you, Mr. Weaver, if you didn't have them dogs around there, they're good company, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they don't take the place. People don't take the place of a few dogs or calves.
Well, I wanted to get me a calf and a cow on there, but
yeah,
no, they didn't really sound about that so much, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you're spoken about it, I decided I'd rather just have a bee. That's about it. See, did we clip this up here or just thin it?
Faye?
I've forgotten which we did. Well, we clipped it.
Offie!
Seemed me like we clipped it in the back. And thinned that a little bit up there. I think that's what we did. Yeah, I know what we did. We just clipped this around like this.
Faith!
I
think of that, she's half
crossed. Yeah, I'd tell her where she hollered. I didn't think she didn't seem like think she'd even have time. I think this is where we did that before, you know. I've
Yeah. She knows you know, I know what she said, around the edges it was just beautiful. Around the top it needs a little more length.
Not cutting it on top this time.
Well, you know how it is this time of year.
You don't want to keep it cut short. I think that's what we're figured on doing, letting it grow out a little bit up there on top. And
yeah.
That's the way we always usually do, or most people want it done.
Yeah. That's curious. You just don't need it quite as short in the winter time, do you?
No. I don't know, mine freezes. If it comes to freeze, my hair will freeze. And see me like if I keep mine cut off shorter, you know, and my head don't freeze as bad.
Yeah.
I don't like it long like it is.
Oh, really?
Like mine is. Mine's long.
I thought you were in the front room. That's the reason I was calling you. You didn't have to come up here. I told you didn't
know,
have to
come. I know, but I was coming. I was on my way.
I told Mr. Weaver that it was just perfect around the edges, but on the top, it needed a little length. Or what was you saying?
Yeah, I was going to tell you that.
It doesn't need it. You see, we at this time of year, you usually let it grow out longer, you know. And I think we shortened it because it's hot then.
Yeah.
And I think that's
one of the things, you know, we notice when it sticks up a little bit right here.
Yeah.
See.
I don't know what makes it do that, do you?
Well, mine does out on one side. I'll put a little something on it to hold it. It'll do that, and you got to measure it up and look down on both sides of the face this way.
This is too high, Mr. Weaver. I'm too high for you.
Well, it's a little high, but I make it all right.
Yeah, that's better. Let him sit down.
Well, you don't have to get in a strain now. You can sit up some and let me strain.
I'm very comfortable, I can.
You want to excuse lie down there. That's all right.
I tell you, it certainly does look nice the way you fix it. I think it's the way he combs it.
Well, you got to cut your hair according to the way they comb it, you know, to make it look good.
And that's why this sticks up a little bit.
Mr. Weaver, I have found that you can't plaster this down. That's entirely the way it's cut. Mm-hmm. And
you got to cut it a little shorter.
That's right.
I don't know what it is.
Well,
I wouldn't make
on one side, you see, sometimes this side of mine wants to stick out right along here too much, and they leave it long, and they want to do it.
Yeah.
They should cut it off a little shorter, but they don't. And I get up out of my hands a lot of times, I did, and cut that on top myself. And so that it looks better to me. And way I have to get out to see and tell. You see, now this looks right now like this here. You see, that's too sticking out,
yeah,
more than
right.
This other.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you need to shape, cutting.
Cut off more.
Yeah, just leave a little of this up there on top.
And cut a little of this and a little of that here.
Right.
And then this round there. That's
right.
All it needs.
That's right.
To make it look, see, you look down at people's head. Now, Barbara College teach you to not do these things. But you, before you ever cut in one's hair till you learn the shape of the head, you always rub your hands over and find out the shape of the head, then you won't cut it wrong so bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of thicker things in it.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, then when you, if you notice, I always get right in front of it when I get through and look down and see if I've got one little longer. Sometimes, you know, if it'll lie down at times better will others, if you measure it, then you can measure it and look, keep looking, come around to the front side, then you can tell how it ought to be cut.
Yeah.
Well, a barber, they teach you in the barber colleges, always have done that. They'll teach you to not ask your customer how they want the hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
They say, go ahead and give him a haircut and get him out and let him go. Well, now listen, I learned under a barber that where I learned how to cut hair was at Carbon Hill, Alabama, and I'd go down and sit there for hours at a time and watch this fella cut hair, you know.
Yeah.
I noticed I had that pulled on. I must have not pushed it on now when I pulled out. Well, I had it open
now. Now, you've just trimmed this side over here, haven't you?
I haven't trimmed this in a bit.
Well,
right here, I trimmed it right there.
Yeah, I see.
Right seeing that there, but I got to thin this side.
I see.
And to cut this a little bit more up there, but I want to use a clipper right here first.
I see.
Now, I can move, Mr. It'll be more comfortable for you.
Well, if I need to turn you off to take a hold of you, like you're in the barbershop, and let you do the turning. See, I could turn you in a barber chair myself, but I can't this way.
No, not very well. Feet's too big. I didn't know you were down to work.
I'm going to fix you off some potatoes in a little while, and I'll be back to okay your hair.
Them cuts pretty good, don't they?
What is that?
Them shears, them
clippers. Yeah, I've got to hang them like a baby. They were keeping that away. I've got to clean them and oil them every time I use them. And I'll never learn one way to sharpen them, and that is to oil them good and then run them a little bit after you get through cutting hair. I've heard people say they take a razor home and rub them on. I rub for hours at a time, and they do mine any good.
They're hard. They're hard.
I need that in my hand, I don't think. You know, if you put, see, machinery works in oil, and you sure got to keep your oil good. Well, one thing, most of the barbers have two sets of clippers, you know, and, they have a core set that they do go around with and go around over, you know, and then they come back with these filings like these, around the edge. Well, our barber's so long and light and tapered up just as good with filings, but I can't cut it quite as quick, you know, right around that.
Yeah.
But it I can do a little bit better job with them.
But every time you use them, you've got to clean them and oil them.
Yeah. Now, before you use them right behind another haircut, you see, I don't cut very many people's hair. I could cut quite a few more than I do, but I don't care about it, you know. And somebody would eventually report me. Ms. Hennessy did. She reported me for everything. Well, it checked up on me. She reported me that I had a barber shop and had a cabinet shop around the house. I done and all that kind of stuff. Now she's turning in and put $35 the check she gave Frank Hines and charged it to me now. I'm the guy like he was working for me. He wasn't working for me. And Leroy worked a little bit twice for me in my yard, and that's a nigger.
Who is Frank Hines?
Frank Hines, he works up there, or did work at the university for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think he's working that horse farm out there now.
Where?
I mean, at that racetrack.
Frank Hines?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
He lives out in Macanopa. He works at the university up there. You probably know him. If you see him, he worked there for a long time until he retired.
Oh, he retired up there?
Yeah, I reckon. Then he got to feeling better, and he went back to work. He's not getting... See, he retired from up there, you see.
Yeah. What was his trade, Mr. Eastman?
Well, he's been carpentering a long time.
I see. Frank Hines, that name sounds familiar.
Well, he lives out in Macanopa.
Whereabouts?
You know, where you turn off to come up to town from 441 coming from Gainesville?
Yeah.
You turn right, and he lives back in there. Just east, northeast of that Sandor place, right on 441.
Oh, he lives on the...
Yeah, he lives back in there, off, not right on the Rochelle Road, but you go out to Rochelle Road.
Oh, out on the Rochelle Road.
And turn the first right, go one block or two blocks down and turn to the right. And you go right out to Frank's house, and it's a dead end. He lives in the house out in the... Right, it's a dead end that's right at his house, as you see.
Yeah.
On the left.
Yeah. Well, and when did you see him? Is he in pretty good shape now?
Yes, he's in pretty good shape. He's in better shape now. He's doing some work. Well, he works a little bit now. But he I think he still, last time I was talking to him, he still works up there. Working tonight up there, but he does a little cart work sometimes during the daytime.
Yeah. Is he a pretty good carpenter?
He does fair. He's not as good as Well, he's pretty good on framing. He's not very good on finishing the doors and things like that.
Yeah.
In fact, he gets me to do that for him.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Frank Hines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has he been around Micanopy long enough?
Yeah, he's been there, I guess, 20 years longer. I mean, 30 years longer.
30 years?
Yeah. Maybe 40. Well, I've been in nearly 50 years.
Yeah. You come in 1920?
21.
Well, how far back do you remember him?
Well, I remembered him before he lived, maybe he lived in Wokahootie out there a while. Then he moved down there about 2 miles and built a house, bought some property and built him a house. Then he sold that and came down Micanopy and bought some property there, right where the truck stop was, and then he sold that and bought 10 acres of land down there in another place there in Micanopy.
Yeah, but that's just recent?
No, that's been several years. That's been 20 years ago, I guess, when he's down there, 15, 20.
Oh, he's been there where he is now for a good while.
Yeah, yeah.
Frank Hines. Now, and he's carpeted all that time?
Most of the time. He farmed, I think, a little bit too out there when he's out there on the farm, above Micanopy.
Yeah.
He run a service station down there a while and run a log truck, bolt and haul timber.
Well, Lord, he's done a little of everything, hasn't he?
Well, he didn't do that very many years. I think he was doing that when he came all the time. Run a log truck and haul blocks and timber, bought timber and sold it.
Mm-hmm.
He had his brothers helping him.
Mm-hmm. So he's been a right useful man in the community, hasn't he?
Yeah, you take. It helps out how a product can do different things around. They teach it now, you know, of course it's easy on it, but if that kind of work gear gets a little slack and the panic comes,
you know,
it's better if you know two or three different trades.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you suppose he would help me a little carpenter work?
I guess
he don't like little short jobs, though. He wants to do
it. Well, he could help you some during the day, you know. I don't think he wants to give up that other job that he's on up there.
Sure.
And go back to cotton, and he don't want to work that much. So Frank's getting pretty aged. He and I is about the same age. Ain't much different. I think I'm a little older than Frank. Not much.
Yeah. Is he as healthy as you are?
Yeah, really, I guess, well, of course you never know. I guess he's healthier than I am. Which I look like I'm in pretty good shape and I feel pretty good.
You look good today, mister. We look like you never had a pain, ache or a pain.
You know, here months ago, I just couldn't.
I
suffered then until I'd talk through the sheep.
Yeah.
And to go do something, I'd forget what I started to do.
Yeah.
I had a little spell that I didn't rest good last night.
Yeah.
But I'd had about a couple of weeks pretty good rest now here lately. And, long summer when I tried to do a little work, I thought I now would pep up enough to finish that little work.
Yeah, I remember.
And there's 2 or 3 weeks there that I didn't do anything because my heart was giving me a lot of trouble after I tried to work a little.
Yeah. You just sort of slack up it when you have it, if you.
Oh, well, I have to quit and go and lie down.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. I have to quit and go and lie down.
But not as far as you know, Frank Hines don't have.
I don't know if he has to do that or not, but of course at his age, you know, there's always something wrong with it. But Frank is a little healthier than I was.
Yeah. He always take care of himself pretty well, like you did.
Well, Frank never did drink and do like a lot of people did, you know.
Oh.
And that has, I think that has a great deal to do. And he's a pretty shifty man, you know.
Well, is he pretty well to do now?
Well, no, he don't have very much. He's got a place and maybe a little money, but he hasn't got much saved yet.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's always lived pretty well?
Well, yeah, I think for just what you'd call a fair poor man living, pretty good poor man living.
Yeah. Well, what do you call a poor man living, Mr. Wheeler?
Well, when you got three meals a day and don't owe anything.
Yeah, and a good place to sleep.
And
in
a
now.
Place to see, and a home. That's what you call poor man living. And when you're like I am, you call me a pauper. That's what I am now.
You don't even rate a poor man.
No, I'm not a poor man, I'm a pauper.
Yeah,
I get behind on the bills, and I picked up a day or two's work the other day and paid up some of them. I ain't got them all paid up yet. I got when I had about 3 or 4 months, I didn't do a thing but just lie around the house. That's all I could, move my yards a little bit. Now, how got all my work cut up around the place.
Well, do you run bills there in town?
Yeah, I have to.
Well, I noticed Mr. Tractor one time asked me about one of his customers, said she was running up her bill right smart, and she wasn't as healthy as she ought to be, as she could be. And he was a little worried about it.
Some of his customers?
Yeah. Well, you see, now, if you run up your bill there and you're not healthy, they worry about it, don't they?
Yeah. They like for you to pay. I've been in business, and though, you can't restock sometimes if they don't have too many run up the bill on you.
Yeah.
And it's worry, but Mr. Rice is a little closer than I am. He needs to lose a little money, you know, worse than I do. I figure this, that nothing really belongs to me in this world, you know. The Lord just lets me use it while I'm here.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I look at it. And we're all just here for a short time, you know.
Yes, sir.
But I think we all should try to save up a little money and not be as bad shape as I'm in. Well, I would have had it if I hadn't sat 90-day holiday bank business and I had bank stock and they took everything I had. Then I got sick after that worrying and I'd worked too hard, you know, and I had a little money saved up from property. I had 2 lots in Gainesville. And 2 or 3 lots in Micanopa and a farm down here in Marion County. And had a mortgage on a house and a lot of soul there in Micanopa, and they still owe me $550, $50-some-odd, and the honest banks didn't take that. Well, I saved out. I had $400-some-odd check in the account at the Piper State Bank. Was it running when you came here?
No.
And 3 days before that hot, they began to close up the bank, so I went out and rolled that out. That's all I could get out. But I had bank stock, you see, and that's the reason they took everything I had.
So that just flattened you?
Oh, man, If I hadn't used my head when I bought the barbershop, I had a barbershop and pool room too there then. If I hadn't used my head in that, they'd have got it.
How'd you manage then?
That's kind of a story that's hard to believe. I'd bought the barbershop and hadn't had it very long. Man, they'd owned it. He bought all the new fixtures and the old $300-$400 on these new fixtures, you see. They're right smart on them. And he'd borrowed $150 on the shop and give a second mortgage. Well, the man was worried about his money, and this man, he married, and he didn't tell his wife about owing all these things. She didn't like it, and they got in a little argument, and she made him quit borrowing. And he just couldn't make go of it and couldn't pay it out, you know, and she didn't know that he owed all this on it. Mm-hmm. So that he kept wanting to sell it and trying to sell it, you know, and the fur business was nearly old. Well, it took what money I had to run the fur business, you know. And I was afraid he'd sell it. Somebody said it. He'd always said it for $300, and he had paid $880 for the chairs. And
can you see, Mr. Weaver, in that dark?
We're going to have to change just a little bit, turning just
yes, that darkest yeah. pitch.
Well, so that I told Mr. Mary, I said, Mr. Mary, I says, if you'll take up that first mortgage on, I believe he's over sell it, and he owed Mr. Mary $150, and he owed $80 on the pictures to the company he bought it from. I says, I'll give you the money, I'll trade with him, I'll buy it, and give you the money, and you can take up the first mortgage on it. He said he didn't want the barbershop. I said, well, I'll give you the $80, you take up the first mortgage, and that'll make yours automatically come first then. Then I said, I'll give you a check for $150 then what he owes you, and I'll take the job. Well, he took it up, you know, and I know that Mr. Mary hadn't got nobody to sign or mortgage satisfaction. I didn't put it on record. It wasn't in my name, you see. I don't know where I could hold that. Then I sold it. Nobody didn't know it, you know. Didn't know nothing about it, you know. Nobody didn't get have no records in the courthouse, you know, about it being my name.
Still in that other fellow's name.
Well, I sold a barbershop out. Got $450 when I sold a barbershop after I built it back up. Then, you part this, don't you?
Anywhere.
So that when he... you see, that gave Mr. Mary all his money. Then I paid Mr. Wynn, gave him a check for the balance difference in it. Mm-hmm. And it had never been transferred over my name, but I had charge of it, and it was operating in my name, you see. But they couldn't touch it. Now, if I'd have went up there and put that change out over right quick, you know.
Yeah.
But I wasn't no hurry about that, you see. I had all these mortgages, you see, and that's all I needed. So that's the way I saved my barbershop.
Yeah. Yes, sir, you had to be scheming.
Well, I just looked that I could do that, but boy, that mortgage I had on that property, though, they got that. And it was a contract that just paid me 10% interest on the money, you know, and so that fellow that first time went to pay me, he had to figure the first month is $30 interest and all, you know. And I told him, I says, I'm just going to charge you. I says, I'm just charging. I says, the contract says 10% for 12 months. I says, that's the contract that we signed. And I says, now you don't owe me that much. I said, you don't owe me. I figured that and showed him what it was, you know, and it's right front. But he is figuring up compound interest, and I wasn't. That wasn't the contract.
Mm-hmm.
All right, after he paid a while, the lawyer told him he didn't have to pay it, you know. And he paid down to $150, you know. interest up on it, and they let it run on up for about 12 years, and I wouldn't foreclose him. He tried to get me to put his wife out and take charge of the place, then turn it over to him. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I had a lawyer, you see, Zach Douglas was my lawyer. And he basically written him a letter and told me he was going to foreclose it, and his wife got a hold of it, and she written her son in New York. He was up in New York working, and he came down, and he came around the house. I put some foreclosure then,
mm-hmm.
and it run back up to about $450. The interest on it had, and compound interest and everything.
Yeah.
So that he tried, they had tried to beat me out of it because 8% interest was legal to collect, 8%. But see, this was a contract that we made, and to draw no compound interest. Well, he couldn't beat me out of that then, because they'd signed it, Well, his son came down and checked on it, and went up and talked to the lawyers and everything, went to Gainesville. He came back, he and his mother come around the house, asked me if he could pay it out. If I'd let them pay it out, he says, I checked up on it. He says, my father does still owe you that money. And he says, you're right about it. Says, we don't think hard of it, but says, we thought we'd come around here and his mother, see if I can pay it out for the month, and you done foreclosed. I said, you sure can. I said, all I want is just my money. Of course, I could sold the property for a whole lot more money then than that. Now, let me lean over just a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Now then, which one of these sides was it that your wife was thinking is this and here looked to me like it's too full? Let me get here and I'm going to cut a little of it off, and I think this is what she won't cut off, so maybe.
I thought it'd be about dinner time we got through with this. Is it too early?
Hey, it doesn't make any difference. I can wait and eat back. Go back and.
Well, I'm getting hungry, Mr. Mm-hmm. I've been hungry. Seems like I haven't eaten all day.
I didn't eat till about 2 o'clock today, and that makes me feel not feel hungry.
Mm. You're not a big eater anyhow now.
Well, I can't eat too much, My mm-hmm. stomach's ain't hurting as bad as it was here a while back. I'll tell you, I couldn't take nothing in it harder here a while back got hurting.
I've heard Frank Hines' name. He never was a deputy or anything like that, law.
No, I don't think he was. He had a right to carry a gun and look up that place up and put people off of it.
Oh, really?
Yes, he does. Well, I wouldn't take a job night watching or nothing like that if they didn't let me carry or have a gun. I wouldn't do it. When I was buying furs, they let me all over the country carry a gun all the time.
Yeah.
I was out, late of the night and a lot of furs you see and things like that.
Had a lot of valuable stuff with you all the time.
Yes. A lot of times I had over $1,000 worth of fur in my car. Someone was to help me up and mm-hmm. took my car and those furs, took them on and sold them to somebody,
Did you buy skins much? Skins yeah. salted down like Mr. Guthrie had that time?
No, I never fooled with cowhides much.
Cowhides.
They had such an odor, and I just couldn't understand it,
Yeah.
I says, I don't like that. I'm not going to cater to that too much. But you see, I had other trades, that I do. See, I either sold cars or worked for something. One year, I worked Peter Henderson Seed Company, 7C, went all over the state.
Oh, really? Is that right?
And See, I went to on the road buying furs, and I was 15 years old, just, you know, as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you my first day I went out to buy furs?
No, sir.
That was a good one. That's a good story. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, you didn't know too much about them to start with.
Oh, I knew. I'd fooled them ever since I was 8 to 10 years old, you know, and bought them, sold them. I mean, and I've been buying them before I went out to just regular buying furs, you see.
Yeah.
I buy them from other boys, give them 5, 10, 15 cents for the possum hides, you know, and make a nickel on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I was trying to make them, about 5 cents, you know, it was cheap, you see.
Yeah.
Well, a boy making a nickel, he was proud of it back then, you know. So that I'd buy them and I'd hold them, maybe the market go up, and I'd get them, maybe make 10 cents on them. Things like that, you know. I just always liked to be a speculate, and I figured sometimes I'd lose. So, look, now I got out there and we cut the wood hard and got up the wood for Christmas, you know, and I decided I'd go out and go down and get my, I had a buggy that I'd saved up money and bought, you know, and trapping with my dogs, you know, and I trapped, you know, two steel traps and caught skunk, get $5 and a half piece of skunk hides back there for blackens.
Yeah.
And they smelled bad, but that $5 looked good to me, and I had seen that black skunk.
Yeah.
A lot of them I didn't get but $75 for those blood stripes and whines.
The black one bought the most.
Oh yeah, quite a bit more. Are they shooting gun?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a gun over there. So your first day buying furs.
Yeah, you can tell you that. I went down and got my brother's horse, you know, and put it ahead, stepped in the buggy, you know. I went out and it was cold, great. Goodness, freezing up there in North Alabama.
Well, that's up in Alabama.
Yeah, it was really freezing up there.
Yeah.
So that I walked 10 years up there before I came to Florida, you see.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I've been up 33 years down here. I made 33 years by. So that they had to last but about 90 days, you see.
Oh.
Come in and inspect this for me now and tell me.
Okay, sir.
Where did it?
Sure looks mighty fine from here.
You was talking about, now see, get in front and look down it, you can tell, you see. Now is that the way he combs it?
No, he combs it straight back.
All over straight.
It don't matter about that.
All over straight back like this. Well, right here's a little niece cutting off, he does that. That's what I want to find out, you know, and let
don't
you...
Don't get too short on top. That's right.
Just a little right here.
That's
just,
right.
Just a little right there. Now,
Mr. Weaver said he ate at 2 o'clock, so he wasn't hurting. I said I ate at 2 o'clock, and I was hurting, see?
Well, I'm going to cook us a little something in
there. Well, you'd have to split the difference, you see, because he's not hungry, and I am.
Well, that's going to make it hard on you.
That's going to make it hard. Don't hurry.
Well, it doesn't make any difference to me. You just go ahead and just...
Now, that looks just so nice, Mr. Weaver. That is so nice. Now, if he would just...
Now, did I get this side of where
yes.
It looks like he wants to
yes.
Look that way?
Comb it back and let's see how it looks. That's right. He parts it sometime. I think that's what happens is when he tries to comb it back.
Right? That make
why
do
don't
that.
You teach him how to comb his hair?
Well, listen, I can't... It don't stay the same all the time.
Well,
I'm
why don't you
working.
Just come over and comb it for him?
I'll just out stay over here with him and comb it and hold it down.
Yeah.
You see, if you comb it back this way, you see, it naturally it wants to stay like that.
That's right, guys. It's got to be combed to the front. That's right.
Oh. You can get something, but it's not good for your hair, and make that hair all lie back and hold it back. But I don't. Rainwater is the best thing to put on your hair.
Is that right?
And oxygen soap was a good thing.
I don't
you
believe.
See, his hair stays better just comb one side back and the other down. Now you come here to look at it and see. Of course, you can push it back, you can comb it back, but you'll have to put something else. Your hair is kind of stiff. But now mine, you can just throw mine back anywhere. If something don't pull it down, the wind blow it, it'll stay more in any direction.
Yeah.
I can comb it down and look like a hippie now. But I can't stand that look. I want to show you different ways that it'll work. Now, just show you. You see, I can comb it this way, you see, all
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
And let it go right back out
yeah.
right around there.
Yeah.
Go straight back.
Look at yourself.
Now, that's parted. I'm going to show you now that I told him I could look like a hippie if I wanted to. Now you look at me, I'll take these off so they won't bother me about changing my hair.
Yeah.
I need a haircut myself. You see, then they part it right this way. See, mine just lie down that way from wind, don't blow it or don't rub it back or something,
yeah.
push it back.
Yeah.
It stays anyway. I'll put a trigger and look at that.
Yeah.
I don't know, I got exactly right up there.
Yeah,
number.
See, yeah, you pass for a hippie. Now, show God what you did over here when you combed it. See? When you comb it, this is the way it grows. That
yeah, you see, you let that comb right down this way, it'll lie that way good and stay there.
And I pull it back and won't
now
stay.
If you push it back like you do, and you see that pushes it up, you know,
and it
won't stay, it sticks out.
Well, sure.
It'll stick out, you see, and that's what makes that look that way.
Oh,
if
yeah.
when you if you rub your hand through it, I do that a lot of mine. Now I didn't see if I cut in the shorter there,
yeah.
It won't lie back at all, you see.
Uh-huh.
His hair will have to get real long to make that
right.
stay back. I'll put something on to hold it back.
Now on the other side, the same thing. Now if he'll part
now,
it.
Yeah, you see, you can comb this side back some, you see.
But you can't comb this side.
This side here looks better combed down.
Mm-hmm. Most everybody's got problems with different sides of their
yeah.
hair.
Yeah. I can't stand. I feel like a hippie when I put down that way. You see, I can come bring it over this way, you see, and just comb it any way I want to. Of course, I don't have the hair I used to have, you know.
Yeah.
But,
Lord, you've got plenty.
Well, if it's a little longer, I'm going to have a lot of that cut off. I told them to cut off hair before, and they didn't get
it. He's just telling me that his hair is going any direction he wants it to.
Yeah.
You see, now, then, and just
and lay there.
Yeah.
Okay, go right back that way,
yeah.
you see. Of course, me working in the barbershop and training it had a lot to do with that, but still, my hair's fine and yours is coarse.
Yeah.
I really have it like yours is. It's not as much trouble as mine.
Wind
blows it, it'll just throw mine all over. Yours won't. Yours stay like you fix it.
Yeah, you'd have to wear a hat for you.
I have to wear, or either comb it every time the wind blows, and if I stoop over this way, it'll fall over right in my face, you see.
Do you wear a hat?
I had a cap when I came in.
Yeah.
I look different with a hat on than I do with a cap if I'd get the right kind. But these little old brim they got, man, I look like a monkey with them.
Make you look like Buster Martin.
Make worse than Buster looks. He's a good looking man while I'm.
Well, now,
looking.
What does rainwater do for it, Mr. Weaver?
I don't know. He just put something in if you catch some rainwater and just keep it in a jug or something. And wash your head in it, it'll keep it. It's best water there are for it.
And you thought?
Lime water's not good for it.
And you use oxygen soap?
Oxygen soap is. But the oxygen soap you get today ain't good like you use. No soap
no,
now ain't good
no,
for your hair.
No.
And this stuff that makes your hair lie back, a lime is called it to fall out too, and get bald headed.
Yeah.
It's not good for it. Now, you can take. You can take a little oil, get a little oil tonic. Of course, a lot of it says it's oil, but it's not. It's got that old blue stuff in there. Make your hair lie like a woman. Now, I can use just a little oil on mine. Mine just lying the way I put it, you see.
Oh, they got a little blue stuff in it.
Oh, yeah. And some people's hair just won't lie back at all. And they let it get long and keep that on there. Just sticks together.
Yeah.
Boy, their hair is hard to cut into until you get that stuff out of it. But I would just do like you do, just let it go and go on, you know.
Let it go. I put a little Vaseline on it every now and then, Miss Lee.
Pure Vaseline or Vaseline hair tonic?
Just.
Pure Vaseline?
Yeah.
Well, if you put a little kerosene with that now, you it'll make it look glossy.
Oh,
what? There won't be a germ left up there, and you put a little kerosene. Just dab your hand in the kerosene a little bit and rub through your hair, you know.
Well, won't it grill your hair?
No, it won't hurt your hair. You know.
Well, let me tell you, I put just a little of this stuff. I damped my hair just a little bit.
You use rainwater now and use your little Vaseline and dampen a little. Before you could just spray a little kerosene up there.
Yeah.
You notice my dog's hair always looks better than anybody else's, don't you? I put sulfur and fried meat grease and grease them to kill the fleas, and that'll kill every flea on the dog.
Yeah.
Kerosene will.
Yeah.
And that's the reason my dog looks so good and strong.
Yeah.
I don't let the fleas eat them up, and don't let the...
Now, what about the odor? You wouldn't...
It
won't stay?
No, it don't last no time, though.
It won't last.
No, that odor don't last. And you can get kind of oil tonic. Do you all buy any product from Ms. Geiger, lives in Micanopy from Avon?
Haven't been recently, no.
Well, now, she's got some pretty good tonic. I got some of her help to make your hair lie, too.
Yeah.
That's very good. But if you could get some coconut oil, if you could get some rosebud oil out of drugstores or barbershops. But now then, they mostly just use stuff, you know, to make it lie, like people I was telling you about, and that's not good for your hair.
Glue.
You see, I studied the nature of hair. No matter what I'm doing, I try to figure and study out what is the best to do about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was barbering, I was studying the nature and how to keep your hair from falling out and everything.
And you watch people's hair.
Yeah. And I wash the hair and everything, and I wash mine, and rainwater's much better. I didn't use in the barbershop, you know. I had to have running water there, you know.
Sure.
They wouldn't let me, if they ever see me do that, you know, they'd close the place up. These scientists...
What would you use for soap now, if you had a little rainwater?
Any good soap. Now, I've got some soap I've tried on my hair that's from Avon called the 50 cents a bar that I'm going to use now. Because some of that soap, it's got such an odor to it that I just can't stand that odor of it. That it we're buying out of stores now. And I find it's not good for your skin or your scalp or nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know what they're making out of it, but I tell you, if you get some good old lye soap, homemade soap, if you know how to make it, and make you some of that, that's the best soap there.
Yeah.
That'll kill germs and everything.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how to make it. I should have learned that, but I had so much to try to learn on the farm, so much work to do, I couldn't watch my mother when she used to make that soap.
That's right.
I know about how it is. I imagine my sisters knows how. I'd get them to teach me how, but they don't know who it is anymore. They've been forgotten too.
You know, I wouldn't mind having a little batch of that. And I know you can get some of these wood ashes.
Wood ashes, and you put it in...
Put it in a barrel.
And put water in there, and let that water, we get that lime, that acid up in the lime, I reckon that's from the wood.
Yeah.
It's acid, really, it's acid from the wood that does that. And then you put so much fried meat lard in there.
Yeah.
And Mother used to when we butchered hogs, certain things sold out, and she used that for soap grease.
That's right.
And she used that for soap grease.
Yeah.
And made it. Well, that soap is much better than this we buy now.
Yeah. Mr. Daisy down here, she's made fine soap.
This colored woman out
there? Yeah.
Well, why don't you get her to make yourself?
Ben Wright's right. And we, they both, she has a wood heater. And
why don't you get it and make you some?
And Bessie Jackson has a
wood heater too.
Wood fireplace.
Oh, a fireplace where they can make that.
Yeah.
Well, my mother just made it in a wash pot out in the yard. She'd
yeah.
make she'd make enough.
Well, I just
wash
think
pot
plenty of them wood
in the winter. You know, it'll last all summer. We never did have to buy
no
soap unless we wanted to.
No.
But she can make it, you know. And you know what, so my mother could take flour and get a certain flour that she wanted, and she can make as some of the best starch that you ever used.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you asked Mary Weave about that, you know.
Well, now, your mother never come down here.
No, well, she came down here. She came down here and visited us some.
Oh, did
you know?
She?
My brother-in-law was now would come down, you know, and they'd come. She'd come with him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
After my father passed away, of course, they, as long as they run the farm, you see, they couldn't come, they couldn't leave. They
yeah.
had nobody leaving charge of us. I wasn't up there, and Buck wasn't there, and my brother-in-law was now. They had all lived off right smart little piece, and they just couldn't leave the farm till they sold out.
Well, I keep rainwater, you see.
You keep a little rain there?
Yeah, out there.
Well, that's a good
thing. And then I keep some in out yonder in jugs for my batteries.
Well, I keep rain water around the place. You know, you see, did you know those tubs and old buckets I have
yeah.
put down that drip there?
Yeah.
Man, I keep casting in there. And you can sit out there at night a lot of times and no mosquitoes bother you. And the only place people drive up there in the backyard, you know, and they're at night. Well, how in the world says we can leave our glasses down here in the only place we ever stopped at and we can do that? No, they're
is
telling
that
me
right?
that now.
Is that right?
Well, you see, I studied all this and practiced it and talked to the State Board of Health. See, when I first moved there, I asked them if I could use it that way. And had them come down and check the place till when I got my dogs fixed, you know, and okay it. You see, when I was cartoning and building houses and cesspools and things like that, I'd call them down and have them to okay it when they got ready for it, you know. They'd okay it, and we'd go and we'd work good together.
Well, now, how does that work now? You've got rainwater in them tubs?
Yeah, I catch that rainwater in those tubs and just sprinkle kerosene on top of it, a little kerosene. Every time it rains, sprinkle a little kerosene because kerosene stays on top. Mosquito hits it, or anything hits it, insect will kill it.
Is that right?
It sure will.
They won't breed there, and then
no, they can't.
And then if they light there, it'll get them.
They go to that water and they light there and they kill them. You can just see them in there.
With just a little kerosene.
Kerosene in those buckets and tubs. I keep that. And I ask them and they says, oh, that won't hurt nothing. I was talking over here, I was running into some over here on Tuscarora Lake, and I was checking those little ponds that they had under mosquito control.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them here not long ago about, you know, told them what I use. They said they're sure killing.
Fane, did you hear that?
You need a little kerosene.
Just
take it undone.
I got to bought my first. I was waiting for.
Oh!
Miss Mouse come back in here so that.
So she can hear.
Yeah, so I can tell my first.
You don't have to come right now. Go ahead. What do you want to do? Well, go ahead, ma'am. Yes, sir. Now let's see.
Get this stuff up and get it where
we'll won't leave it. That's the chief thing.
I'll put it back. Which car are you going to use? And I just carried out there and put it in the car now.
The car you came in. I guess.
Maybe. Papers I was fixing to drop out, and this ain't it, this one of yours.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'll just use this one. I wrap the paper around them first, then I put my cord around that.
You'll lay it right here on your hat, Mr. Let me see now where everything is, yeah. Thank you. Now you go ahead, Faye, with your cooking. And
I will tell you that that's
yes,
pretty good one.
The
way I turned out and happened. I can't give you the exact date that was right now. I used to could, but I've thought about telling it so long, you know.
Yeah.
So I had a buggy, but I didn't have no horse at that time. My oldest brother lived about a half mile down Lewis, and I went down and he borrowed his horse, hitched up in the buggy, and I pulled out buying furs early one cold morning. And I drove till about 1 or 2 o'clock, and I hadn't found a fur, possum hide, or nothing to buy.
Yeah.
I'd been all around, and that's why I came across one possum hide, I'd come somebody, and a skunk. Paid 25 cents for the possum hide and paid $2 for the skunk hide, black skunk hide.
Yeah.
And I could only sell them for what, 2.5 is all I could sell them for. So that I won't repeat it here, but I can go ahead and tell it anyway, you see. And so that
they've been here. She's coming in. That's the preacher.
Oh, it is. Methodist preacher? Or
he's a Presbyterian.
Presbyterian preacher down at McIntosh?
Yeah.
I imagine I know him, and I may
Stan,
know
Stan, I always forget his last name. Stan,
I probably met him, I may have. I belong to the Baptist Church up there in Macanopy.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. You knew that?
I was about 17 or 18 years old. I've belonged to the Baptist Church ever since.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All of them, if you live according to the Bible, is good.
Yeah.
If you don't matter what
they've got a nice church up there, haven't they?
Yeah, that's it. But I don't go to this one now because I can't stand confined me.
Oh yeah.
I get so nervous,
yeah.
I just want to holler.
Well,
I had to quit on account of that. I listen over the radio and see, I listen to all denominations over radio and get every bit of it, you see, and then read the Bible and I can tell which I like the best, which I think is nearest right. You need to go to all different churches and find out.
Oh, you do.
You need to go to all the different churches and learn what they, all of them's got good in them.
Yeah.
Some good.
Now that's the trouble, Mr. Weaver. When you, if you're too good a churchman, you go to the same little church all the time.
Well, you can visit other churches. You see, I got up a quartet when I first came here, I got up a quartet, you know, and we'd sing at churches, you know, and they'd have us to. They'd have us to come to us. I went to McIntosh, the Baptist, the preacher.
You
come
drink up. Coffee?
No, not much. Is that coffee?
Yeah.
What kind of coffee is that? You got, what you got in there?
Everything. Just everything. I don't drink much. I like a little bit.
I drink a little coffee, too.
See, I make up a batch like that in the last all day. I'll just drink a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You had a what? String band?
No, a male quartet.
Male quartet, yes.
So we'd sing, you see. And Mr. Nelson was a bookkeeper out in Franklin. And we got Charlie Wynn was a, he had a good bass voice, and he sung bass in it. He didn't know music, but he sung bass. And we got this all up, you see, and they'd invite us when they'd have a special preacher or some program, you see. They'd want us to come down and bring and sing for them, sing quartets for them in the church, you know. We'd go around different churches. Well, some of them got after me about it. I told them, I says, I was over to Methodist Church, and we went over and sung. They asked me, Miss Mountain, she is a pianist there, and she came to me and asked me if we'd come over. Well, they were going to have a special sermon that day, you see. And asked if we could bring quartet. I told them, sure would. Well, the Baptist got after me about it. I said, well, listen. I said, now, I've got a different kind of religion to a lot of people. I says, I can help save souls over yonder in the Methodist Church the same I can in the Baptist Church. Because I says, they may never come over to the Baptist Church. And I says, good singing is just as worth as much as good preaching. And it is. You take, and did you know if you got a good choir and good singing that helps a preacher to preach? Helps
yes.
him out, stimulates him up.
Yes.
It helps anybody. Yes, if you just...
And just to think what some of this poor singing does for him, Mr. Weaver. It must be depressing to the preachers.
Well, you know, it's not happening.
No.
You take a good choir and a good class and get in there and sing, and people sings, and... Now, I never did cater too much this classical singing.
Yeah.
I like spiritual singing. I always did.
Yes.
I didn't care about classical singing.
Well, now, how did you all get together, Miss Weaver? Did you get together and practice?
Mm-hmm.
Learn the songs and everything?
We practiced together and sang together, you know. And we'd get out and practice on these songs to go and sing, you see. And I had a light, high tenor voice, and I could sing the high tenor to any song.
Yeah.
But I could never sing bass. And I always did want to sing bass some, but I couldn't.
Ah.
I didn't have the voice to sing it with.
Yeah, you tried, but you couldn't.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it. I can sing bass better now than I could back when I was singing.
Oh, really?
I never could sound it down in my lungs, and that's where your big chorus comes from.
Yeah.
I could sound it up part of my mouth.
Yeah.
And, well, have you studied music last month, haven't you?
Say has.
Well,
she knows about it.
I could go up above, a half a step above the second, third out of the line above.
Yeah.
You know what that, you know how high that is, don't you?
That's pretty high.
But I couldn't go down. I couldn't go low enough on the low notes and soprano and lead.
This is the end of channel 2 over. The end of channel 2 over. Mr. Weaver's visit this Saturday, the 7th of November, 1970. The end of channel 1 over. This Mr. Weaver's visit this Saturday for supper and haircut, 7th of November, 1970. The end of channel 1 over. This visit of Mr. Weaver.